Harris has also been slipping in some recent polls, with Trump now leading the Real Clear Politics average in 6 of 7.
Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah America. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. It was nice. It was windy yesterday. Congratulations to my Longhorn buddies. Kind of knew that was going to happen. But anyway, hey. I still talk crap, and I still will next year. Don't worry. Anyway, congratulations to them, and a lot of good football yesterday. I got my nuts dug yesterday. Took me, 6-7 hours to get them all out of the ground. I'm happy, except for the deer damage and the field rat damage and the raccoon damage. And so, other than that, it was good. Got a lot done. Let's see here. Nothing major in agriculture news over the weekend, I don't think so. But anyway, just pretty good weekend. So, cooler weather. And then, now, they're calling for 37 for a low tomorrow morning in the Elk City area. I'm not sure about the other areas. I'm probably the same. Probably further north we get, the cooler to get. So anyway, I bet you live along a creek and a river tomorrow morning or Wednesday morning, you're probably going to see a little bit of a pretty cold frost, maybe. We'll see what happens. Anyway, check out some temperatures. 66 at Hollis, 67 at Hobart, 63 at Putnam, 62 at Woodward. Slap out in Beaver, you're both 62, and out here in the panhandle of Texas, more of the same. 63 at Lipscomb, Miami 62, Wellington 65, Childress, you're 66, and Odell 69 degrees. So, anyway, let me get to the text line real quick. I missed this Friday. So, coming up this weekend is the youth deer gun, the 18th and the 20th. It's coming up. So this is a reminder from Lieutenant James. Youth deer season is October 18th through 20th. The weather is definitely better now. It's a great opportunity for kids to get out and hunt. It's also an excellent opportunity for everyone to get out and help farmers and ranchers by harvesting up two does. All resident youth under 18 years of age are eligible for and only need the new youth super hunting license. All youth must be accompanied by adult over 18 with hunter education. And I was also reading in the handy dandy regulations with the adult hunter may not gun hunt but may archery hunt, provided they have the appropriate license. This is why they're compiling a youth this weekend. So keep that in mind. And let's see here. So we don't need none of these fathers taking their 6-month-old babies out there with a license deer hunting so they can shoot a buck and put the picture of their baby still in diapers next to his first deer. We don't need none of that going on. So anyway, also another reminder with the youth deer hunt. All deer taken during the youth deer gun season are included in the hunter's combined season total limit of 6 deer, but are not included as part of the hunter's regular deer season gun limit of 4 deer. That makes sense? Got any questions? There's just regulations in every store. Everywhere, or just what's the name? Outdoor Oklahoma, is that the name of the no outdoor? Go Outdoor is your app on your phone. It's free. It's got everything in there. It's got your sunrise, sunset, a store, the mobile e-check, and I know the majority of you guys have it, but anyway, so pretty easy to stay within the law while you're hunting. And what are we? We're less than a little over 3 weeks till quail season opens. I'm excited. I know my dog's excited. So anyway, that's going on. What else going on here that we could talk about before the first break? Anyway, I think so. Let's just check out what is right here. Where'd it go? Oh, a friend of mine sent this to me this morning, and I wanted to share this with you because we'll have our market updates and everything next segment. But bigger frame cattle are presenting welfare and environmental worries for the best for the world's best known animal behaviorist, U.S. scientist Dr. Temple Grandin. I thought this was pretty interesting. It's either you're doing bad or you're doing good or you can't do it. There's no in between. Writing an essay in the U.S. industrial magazine Meat and Poultry, she detailed the problems created by increasingly beefy North American cattle genetics. Today's fed cattle in the U.S. are getting bigger and bigger, she said, noting reports that carcasses in the U.S. are averaged 38 pounds heavier compared to June of last year. She wrote, there are three problems that these causes. There's three problems with them. There are increasing problems with back bruises caused by tall cattle hitting their backs when they exit from the bottom deck of a semi-trailer. Unfortunately, this is occurring in trailers that have been modified to provide more back clearance. A second problem is that huge animals do not fit in chutes and cattle handling facilities designed for smaller cattle. A standard 30-inch chute with straight sides may be too narrow for one of the fattest animals. The third problem is the most serious. Each huge steer has a huge sister who will be too expensive to feed in the U.S. winter on grasslands. On grassland ranches. Dr. Grandin accepted the larger animals have sustainability benefits because more pounds of quality beef are produced from fewer cattle. However, she said many ranchers risk going broke if they attempt to feed huge cows on the rangeland. There is a sustainability trade-off on cattle size. She recalled in the early 1970s, the predominant U.S. beef cattle were smaller Herefords and Angus. These cattle were definitely too small, she said. A situation changed by the introduction of the bigger-bodied European genetics, such as the Charolais. But over the time, the consumers became faced with another problem, the size of meat cuts. The ribeye was too big to fit on a plate. I ain't never seen one of those. But anyway, U.S. carcass weights have trended heavier for the past 60 years, with steer carcass weights increased by an average of 4 pounds per year over that period, up more than 240 pounds from 660 in the 1960s to more than 900 pounds in recent years. The recent U.S. trend in fed steer weights 2018 to 2024 was illustrated in this graph. And it says here from January, up to around 910 pounds. Larger cuts are fine in the hands of chefs and professionals trained in handling them, said Peter Smith, a former butcher and now group manager, custom accounts of Queensland processor Australian Country Choice. But Mr. and Mrs. Jones would find these cuts difficult to manage. He noted that the MSA cuts cook standard was based on meat from trade weight animals weighing 250 to 280 kilograms and could possibly need updating for larger animals. As carcass and premium weights increase, it becomes increasingly difficult to cut a steak of desired thickness while sticking to an acceptable portion weight. Cube rolled steak cut to a standard 25 millimeters thickness produces a single steak. How come they can't put this in American? A steak that at 400 to 450 grams is the week's allocation of red meat, according to the Australian Dietary Guidelines. Australians' red meat increase intake, 1995 and 96, averaged 88 grams a day. By 2011-12, that dropped to 80. Nowadays, the Australian Dietary Guidelines recommend eating no more than 65 grams of cooked red meat a day. And if you think that's barely a snack, the 2019 LASIK endorsed 8 Planetary Food Guide recommend reducing red meat intake to around 14 grams a day. Ha! Whatever. So anyway, among popular Australian beef breeds, Santa Catrudis is the example where frame scores have been moderated over time. Rick Greenup, technical committee chairman of the Santa Catrudis Australian, said larger frame scores at the top end of the chart, scores 9 or 10, has been pursued in the past. However, more moderate scores of 7 to 8 are now the standard. While we don't dictate to the producers the frame score to target, most are now meeting somewhere towards the middle to produce a highly functional animal that gives them options without eroding other important production traits such as fertility. So anyway, I don't know. It says here in 2023 Australian Meat Producer Corporation report, looking at slaughter rates in the Queensland meatworks, found smaller and lighter carcasses required slower rates to process due to the something to do with the body. Maximum rate has been timed at 65 head per hour. That means at maximum rate, less revenue would be generated in comparison to a larger, heavier animal. So that's a lot of crazy comparisons. You don't produce, you don't process as many big ones as you do little ones. I understand that. But wonder, they didn't put in here how much meat they were getting out of the big ones compared to the smaller frame ones. So I don't know. I don't agree with Dr. Grandin on this whatsoever. This thing must have been more studied over in Australia than the United States, because I've never heard anybody complaining about their cattle hitting the trailer, and I've never heard any of my customers that I sell beef to complaining about a 450 to 500 pound half hanging half weight. And this, you know, I don't know. What do you guys think? So crazy, crazy world we live in. All right, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. When we come back, I'll have your market updates and some cattle reports. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
We do a ton of wholesale work with your mechanic shops, but it's also the DIY guy that has Saturday afternoon off. He comes in Saturday morning, picks up his stuff, and works on his pickup. It's a wide range of people. It can vary from the biggest shop in town to the smallest shop in town to your guy that works in his garage on the weekend.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Harvest Equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed. at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
Anything you can get out and about and do in the public to keep yourself out there, seeing what's going on, and you're knowledgeable about what's going on. You have customers come in wanting to do something, open a business or whatnot. It might be nice to have a little insight on your side. They have business plans. It's probably rare to find a business plan that has every little in and out thought out. So if you know what's going on around town, there may be something you could share with them that might either alter their plan, make their plan a different direction, speed it up, slow it down. I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
When it comes time to put your hard-earned money toward a new vehicle, count on Lipscomb Dealerships to give you a better value and car buying experience with friendly, no-pressure sales and quality service backed by a half century of experience. Save more in the country at our 7 dealerships across Texoma with over 1,000 Chevy, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Ford vehicles, plus KTMs and Can-Ams, always on sale at LipscombDealerships.com. Good people, great deals, family-owned since 1979.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather update for out there in the Texas Panhandle. Miami, humidity's 26%, dew point's 28. The winds are out of the south at 4 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today at 14 miles an hour. No month-to-date precipitation, no red flag minutes, no sub-freezing minutes. 8-inch soil temperature, 67 degrees. How about that? All right, let's check out the Lipscomb Dealerships grain market update. Let's see what's happening. December corn, 410, down 5.5. March is 426, down 6.75. Soybeans for November, 1002, down 3.5. January, 1016, down 4.25. Soybean meal, December, 316.30, up 120. January, 315.80, up 140. Soybean oil, December 42.10, down 123. January 42.18, down 119. Hard red winter wheat, December 5.93, down 11.5. March is 6.09, down 11.5. And for you, Cotton King, December cotton is 70.96, down 1.25. Oil out of the West Texas, November 73.78, down 178. Natural gas is down to 250 for November. Looks like the NASDAQ, S&P, Dow are all in the green today. And then what else we got? Live cattle, October, 188.40, down 20. December, 188.07, up 50. February is 188.75, up 55. November feeders, 250.27, up 47. January, 248, up 75. Lean hogs, December, 75.87, down 177. How about that? And let's see here. Oh, burn bans. I wanted to go over some burn bans with you because I got an update this morning. So Oklahoma burn bans going on, county burn bans going on in our listening area. Harmon, Greer, Jackson, Kiowa, Tillman, Caddo, and Grady. And way over there, probably on I-35, is Carter County. So them are counties with the burn ban. I'm shocked in Texas when I seen this. Anyway, in our listening area, Sherman, Lipscomb, Hutchison, Roberts, Hemphill, Wheeler, Carson, Randall, Armstrong, Donnelly. Did I say that right? Oh, hang on here. Donnelly, Collinsworth is not. Childress County is. And Hardeman is. And what's this other one here? Wilberger, however you say that. Anyway, right straight south of Altus. How's that? Where Vernon's at. So anyway, you guys are all under burn bans because people are always asking me to make sure everybody knows. So with the dry weather we got going on the next 2 to 3 days, everybody be careful of what you're doing out there in the field, whether you're burning brush piles, welding fence, got a bad wheel bearing, be careful out there if you will. Anyway, I just got it last night from Brandon Hickey from the sale Saturday. But anyway, they had a really good sale, and we'll talk more with Brandon about that tomorrow. Almost 3,000 heads sold at Elk City, and everything was steady to higher on. Everything was steady to higher, except for maybe the 4 to 6 week, 4 to 6 weight heifer calves. You can tell it's Monday. I can't never talk. Anyway, yep. He said steady to higher on everything except 4 to 6 weight heifer calves. So pretty good sale. Went by there. They had a crowd there. That's for sure. My man Lawrence from down there in Washita County way, he bought me some lunch, and he brought some money donated by him and some other people from Sentinel. And I went to Wally World and bought a bunch of sleeping bags and flashlights. And then I went over there and I dropped them off at TTS's fishing yard, right there on the little curve there by the crossover bridge, they call it, there across from Atwoods. Anyway, dropped it off. They have a full semi load of water and other big things on pallets to go. And now they're filling up a trailer, with items like sleeping bags, lighters, flashlights, diapers, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, it's a really good thing that TTS and Cud are doing. You can also drop them off at the TTS yard in Oklahoma City if you're listening up there. But anyway, they're going to head to North Carolina here pretty quick and take some stuff to a different places. But that... I've talked about it twice now, that Black Mountain foster camp for foster kids, 260 foster kids. I got some pictures from up there where what the water damage did up there, and those kids are lucky. They took it upon themselves and rescued themselves, went higher up on the mountain, but it wiped out probably 90% of their cabins. They're sleeping in tents right now, and it's going to get below freezing there tomorrow morning. So if you guys find in your heart, there's Green America. You can go on there, their website, Green America, and up there in the search bar at the top, put the hurricane in there and Helene. And they put that in there, and it'll take you to a deal where you can make donations. They're cash money donations to that, and it will go 100% of it will go to that foster camp deal. Anyway, I know some people are talking out here about going up there here in the next few weeks and helping out with just building cabins and stuff. And so anyway, it's a pretty moving deal of what's happened with the hurricane out there. So anyway, all right, before we go to break, I want to check out what happened in the livestock auctions in Oklahoma last week. Looks like 29,720 head were sold compared to 32,000 the week before, but well ahead of the 26,000 last year. It looks like feeder cattle were 90% of it. Slaughter cattle was about 6.5%. Replacement cattle was about 3.4%. Compared to last week, feeder steers and calves are $1 to $3 higher. Feeder heifers $1 to $2 higher. Heifer calves steady to $2 lower. Slaughter cows $4 higher. Slaughter bulls steady. Packer demand was good. Hot and dry conditions remained throughout Oklahoma. The forecast for the next week includes some relief from the heat and a small chance of rain next Saturday. From what I was hearing this morning, they kind of backed off that this weekend, but it may be moving in Monday instead. So we'll see. Wheat planting is still ongoing, and the market is holding together despite drought conditions and varying temperatures make it difficult to start calves. And just check out some quick prices on some steers, for example. Here's 161 head, average weight 426, average price was $335.83, but they were bringing up to $361. And some five weights here, 344 head, 527 average, 244 to 301. And then we're unwinged. And then some six weights, 503 head, average weight 620, 240 to 277.50, average 263. And 1,233 head of 725 pounders, 231 to 274, 258.24. So not too shabby. Anyway, all right, let's go ahead and do an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. When I come back, we'll have some more information on what's going on in our world of agriculture. Four syllables, right? I got it. Now, see what's happening in agriculture. And we'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September the 27th. 1,732 head were sold. Six head of steers at 456 brought 316. 15 at 526 brought 278. 10 at 559 brought 280. 13 at 567 brought 252. 11 at 633 brought 262. 16 at 712 brought 245. 4 at 736 brought 236. 4 head of heifers at 490 brought 244. 7 at 522 brought 240. 19 at 536 brought 253, 11 at 582 brought 232, 10 at 661 brought 239, butcher cows were 69 to 144, butcher bulls brought 113 to 155, bred cows were 1,575 to 2750, pairs brought 1,400 to 2850, Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Downey Rinse and Refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out.
Oh, I got in the rinse straight.
Every now and then I rinse it out. One wash and it delivers. One wash, it smells so clean.
Downy Rinse and Refresh, it's a dream.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Fights odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
XIT Auctions will be selling 335 acres of Greer County land Wednesday, October the 16th at Great Plains Bank in Mangum, Oklahoma. For all the details, go to XITauctions.com or call me, Aubrey Latham, 393-4440. 260-acre tracts with new steel fences, rural water, and much more, and a small 12-acre tract with a good steel lock fence. 393-4440 or XITauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Kent Watkins here, owner of SEI AgriTech in Elk City. It is time for fall cover crop seed. This is a critical step in the growing process. Remember, keep it covered. Stop by SEI AgriTech to get all your fall cover crop seed. In addition to that, we are now contracting winter cattle kits, another very important part of livestock management. Come see me. Let's get all your fall seed and your winter feed contracts done. All here at SEI AgriTech in Elk City, located on South Randall.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. I don't believe I've done Hooker before, but I'm going to do it now. 64 degrees, dew points 29, humidity's 27. The winds are out of the south at 14. A 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 72. Sunset at 7:10. Sunny 78 today. Tonight 46 for low. Then the wind switch. They'll get up out of the northeast tomorrow. Mostly sunny. 71 degrees. I guess there's a bunch of people out on fall break this week, aren't they? Anyway, Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is a member-led and member-driven organization that provides legislative representation to protect things like your farm sales, tax exemption, water rights, property rights, up to $10,000 theft reward program to assist in gathering information if you experience livestock theft, in-person and virtual producer education, beef direct sales, list that connects customers with OCA members marketing beef. Monthly issues of the Cowman magazines and weekly email updates and issues videos. For just $100 a year, you can experience all these member benefits and so much more. That's less than $2 a week for a little over $8 a month to have an association that's working full-time to represent you and help protect your way of life. www.okcattleman.org or call Miss Lori at 580-273-5137. How about that? Okay. Dr. Peel. I know you guys get tired of me talking about the drought, this and that, but guess what? It's what's going on, and that's what's happening in our agricultural world in western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle. From Dr. Peel this morning off of the Cow-Calf Corner. Drought conditions are advancing rapidly in Oklahoma. Figure 1 shows that as of October 8th, 70.27% of the state had some level of drought, including D1, 24, basically 25%, D2, 22%, and D3, 24%. While there is currently no D4 exceptional drought in the state, the amount of D3 extreme drought jumped 11%. From 11% to 23% in just 1 week. As recently as August 20th, there was no D3 level drought in Oklahoma. The drought severity and coverage index measures the overall level of drought in a single value. Winter wheat planting in Oklahoma for the week ending October 6th was at 32% compared to the previous 5-year average of 46% for that date. The percentage of wheat emerged was at 14% compared to average of 22% from the previous 5 years. Wheat that has emerged is growing very slowly or not at all. The potential for winter wheat grazing is fading fast with the current dry weather pattern. Water supplies for cattle are rapidly becoming a critical issue. In recent travels around the state, I have consistently observed low pond levels. Producers have reported ponds that are already dry or nearly dry, forcing decisions about relocating cattle, or as in my deal, hauling water. It is important for producers to act early to minimize the impacts in developing drought. Producers should evaluate water resources to determine if action is imminent. Though little pasture growth is expected this time of the year, standing forage should be inventoried for both quantity and quality, including the availability of water needed to utilize specific pastures. Likewise, hay should be inventoried to determine both quality and quantity. Finally, the inventory of water and feed resources should be evaluated relative to current cattle inventories and particular production system to create a plan going forward. For example, the needs and goals of spring calving herd in the next few months will be different from a fall calving herd. The drought plan should address how the operations will get through the winter in worst case scenario, or how operations impacted in spring of 2025 arise and still no moisture. And looking at the Long Ranger, guys, there's a pretty good chance that it's not going to be a very wet winter. As always, drought plans should identify a timeline when decisions should be made, and priorities for classes of animals will be liquidated if necessary. One of the keys to the drought planning is to think beyond the drought and have a plan to still have a viable operation remaining after the drought. It's much better to plan that, hopefully, that will not be needed, than to muddle along until resources are depleted to a level where no flexibility remains. So that was from Dr. Peel. So yeah, make plans. I got a pasture over here west of Elk already set aside for calving this winter, and there's some pretty good grass in there, so I'll put them in there coming up probably sometime in November, maybe December. And anyway, water situation, windmill and solar power there. But where you got ponds, you need to be careful. And remember, even during the winter, water is the most important nutrient to cattle, as far as I'm concerned. So, and even during the summer, it's really important. In the winter, it's just as important. Studies have showed that cattle drink a little bit more water during the winter at times. So, who knows how that goes. So, all right, let's see here. Whoop. Hang on, bear with me here a second. Anyway, also coming up November 19th and 20th at the Embassy Suites in Norman. Don't miss the Oklahoma's largest gathering of water experts and officials. Register now for the Governor's Water Conference. And I tell you guys, the way our water deal is all over the state anymore, it's best to stay on top of this and see what's going on with the Oklahoma Water Resources Board and the Oklahoma Water Resources Center. So this is coming up November 19th and 20th. Anyway, if you have any questions, call Grace Jessup at the Oklahoma Water Resources Board and get your rooms booked for the Embassy Suites there in Norman. So pretty important to stay up on the water stuff. Let me get back to this page over here. There we go. Let's see here. All right. Before we go to break, I gave you the Oklahoma auction deals. I'll give you the Texas now. Last week, 5,301 head were sold through the sale barn compared to 5,300 the week before and 6,800 last year. Feeder cattle made up for 89% of it. Slaughter cattle was around 8%, and replacement cattle was around 3.5%. It says here, compared to last week, feeder steers steady to $3 higher. Feeder heifers lightly tested last week, but was mostly steady. Demand good for feeder calves. Steer calves $3 to $6 higher. Heifer calves steady to $3 higher. Demand continues good for calves despite continued warm, dry weather. There you go. So curious, what's 400 pounders bringing in Texas? About the same. Here's some unwinged 413 pounders, average $327.17. Here's some unwinged 529 pounders, $281.53. 614 pound unwinged calves, $244.43. And some 713 pound unwinged calves, $233.12. Let's see what heifers are doing down there real quick. Here we go. Some unwinged 449 pound heifers, $263.71. Unwinged 528 pounders, $244.11. Unwinged 611 pounders, heifers, $230.64. unwinged 758-pound heifers, anywhere from 199 to 205. Average was 203.39 to be exact. Let's see here. What's their cows? Boner. They're breakers. Looks like their breaker cows ranging anywhere from, on average, 116.50 to 129.59. Boners were anywhere from 88 to 129.15. Leans were anywhere from 71.94 all the way up to the high was 123.48. And she here, bred cows, bringing up to 22.52. Some 5 to 8 year olds were bringing 22.52, and some medium large number 1-2 bred cows were bringing up to 21.37, and bred heifer $1,400. So anyway, if you get into your Penny News, the newest edition, on the back page there's a advance notice of jailbirds. Got all of us back there. Just kidding. Anyway, Aubrey Latham was on here week four last. Anyway, coming up, Mangum, October 16th at 1 o'clock. Those land parcels from down there around Brinkman will be selling in. That'll be day after tomorrow. Oh, look at that time. 10/14/2024. You know what tomorrow is? Tomorrow is the deadline to have your fall crops in the ground to be eligible for LFP and NAP. Keep that in mind. I know it's dry, but, you know, this is the reason why we have NAP and that LFP. If it stays dry, you can collect on it and help out a little bit. So, anyway, let's go ahead and take a OCA break. When I come back, I'll finish up the show with Bigfoot. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, got more agriculture news coming up. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at EverettWelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
ASCO equipment may be new to Elk City, but our company is built on decades of dependable service. Whether you need sales, rentals, parts, or service, ASCO has you covered with top quality equipment brands like Case, Hitachi, and more. Stop by and visit us at our new Elk City location and see for yourself why ASCO is trusted by those who build, fuel, and feed Oklahoma. ASCO equipment, powering your projects across the Sooner State.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You don't want to be told what to buy. You want options so you can make your own decision. If you're ready for a new vehicle right now, you're in luck. We've got more options at Barber-Dyson Ford than any time in the past 5 years. In fact, it's possible we've never had this many vehicles. More styles and more sizes and more colors than ever. You choose, you decide. All vehicle lines have incentives right now, so you can't go wrong. With the selection of Barber-Dyson Ford, you'll find what's right for you. Online, barberdysonford.net.
XIT Auctions will be selling 335 acres of Greer County land Wednesday, October the 16th at Great Plains Bank in Mangum, Oklahoma. For all the details, go to XITauctions.com or call me, Aubrey Latham, 393-4440. 260-acre tracks with new steel fences, rural water, and much more, and a small 12-acre track with a good steel lock fence. 393-4440 or xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
If you'd like to tackle those home projects yourself, like building a privacy fence or spicing up the place with some landscaping, you'll need the right tools to get the job done fast. Rent what you need from DJ's Rentals and Sales on South Main in Elk City. They have gas-powered post hole diggers for fence building, skid steers for hauling landscape blocks, and excavators for any type of digging that needs to be done. The best thing about DJ's is the free advice. Stop by and talk to them about your next project.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boombacks, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for southwestern Oklahoma. Just to warn you, I got to come down there. I got to get a pair of boots. Make sure you got some 11 triples X in there. All right. Make sure you got them there. Anyway, 70 degrees at Hobart. 27 dew point. Humidity is 20. Winds are out of the east. I don't know what that 10-day rainfall, 0.01 inches. I didn't know you guys got any rain. Oh, I guess there was some showers moved through last week, but that wasn't much. Anyway, 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 77 degrees. Sunset at 7:03, sunny and 77 today, 53 for a low tonight, 84 for a high tomorrow. All right. Denton Cook from down there in Ouachita County, up there at Leedy at the Stairwell, what do they call it? I don't even remember the name of the show now. It's open. It's open up there. I think I read where there's seven people from seven different states showing. Anyway, my little buddy, Denton Cook, won grand champion heifer with Deb. That's the name of his heifer, and it's also the name of his grandma, and I had to ask, named him after grandma? Yep, she's a little high strung, it shows. She actually came with the name, but it fit perfectly, so we kept it. Anyway, congratulations. I didn't check see who else all did well up there. I'm sorry, I didn't have time to get into the details this morning, but anyway, if you can text it in to me right now if you want to, 580-225-9697, if you know somebody that won their class or champion, whether steer or heifer up there. I'd be gladly to announce it. But I'm friends with Jordan on Facebook, and I've seen where Denton kicked a little butt this weekend with his heifer named Deb. Yeah, and I've been around his grandma at the shows. And I'm not talking down on that woman by any means, because I love her to death. But anyway, whew, she's a serious grandma in the stands when grandson is showing. So anyway, one time I had to say, you need to cool it, grandma. No, I did not say that. But anyway, congratulations again to Denton. All right, let's see here. You guys ever heard of the IH-660, a.k.a. Big Red? The 660 was one of the biggest tractors International Harvester ever built. But some serious design flaws in the 60 series made this one a rarity. The IH-66 was a hoss. No two ways about it. When it was brand new in 1959, it was the biggest farm tractor IHC had ever built. So if that's the case, why don't you see more of them? We'll get to that. As well as at this snazzy IH-660 with an Elwood FWA under the front. In a bit. But anyway, let's talk about the IHC. By the mid-1950s, Harvester was coming up on nearly two decades with the same look and feel. from the letter series tractors to the 100 series machines. They all had the same smooth sheet metal penned by Raymond Loewy back in the late 1930s. It was getting tired, and the technology was too. It was time for something new. Anyway, I'm going to tell you something about these older IHs, pre-1959s, if you want to call them that. So I got a friend that lives up there in Fruitland, Idaho, which is over there west of Boise on, I-80? Anyway, going towards Oregon, not very far from Oregon. Matter of fact, you can see the state line from his backyard. Anyway, in that area right there is a lot of vegetable farms, and I'm talking a lot of vegetable farms. They've got a canal, not a really a canal system through there, but they got a river that runs through there that they let water out of a lake up there above them, out of a mountain, so they can irrigate out. And there's more side roads in that area than you ever dreamed of ever seeing. It's pretty cool area to be in. And what they are using is those 100 series tractors still today. That's all you see. Yeah, you'll see some bigger John Deere's or bigger cases maybe working the ground. But when it comes to actually doing those vegetables, row cropping, they got these 100 series harvesters out there left and right with the umbrellas above them and stuff. So it's pretty cool. You, if you're ever over that area west of Boise on the interstate there, just pull off there at Fruitland and just – can't get lost. Just drive around in that area, and it's really neat area to see. Harvester's design team played with new concepts as early as 1954, mocking up all sorts of different designs. They all had one thing in common, a squared-off, thoroughly modern look. The best of these ideals went on to become a brand identity of sorts, implemented first in the 40 and 60 series machines. The familiar stack bar grill, for instance, characterized most of IH Farms tractors right up to the merger with J.I. Case in 1985. It wasn't just all cosmetic, though. The new tractors packed a bigger punch and served up more more capabilities also. It wasn't just a facelift, though. Harvester's product team asked customers and dealers what they wanted in a new machine. The answers were almost all the same. More creature comforts, more power, and more hydraulic capability. So that's what the company built. The 60 series tractors featured a more sensible design, operator's layout that was more comfortable for long days in the field. The HydroTouch hydraulic system was upgraded for more capacity and easier servicing with a replacement filter to keep the system clean. The powertrain was likely the biggest single development for the 60 series machines. IH introduced six new naturally aspirated inline six-cylinder variants. The 460 got the smallest ones ranging from 221 cubic inches gas or LP to a direct start 236-inch cubic-inch diesel on the big end. The 560 was really the flagship model of the line and could be optioned with 263-cubic-inch gas or LP or 282-inch cubic-inch, that is, direct start diesel. They were all very smooth-running engines. They were rated between 60 and 72 horsepower, engine horsepower. When mated with a 5-speed gearbox from the 400, 450, and the optional torque amplifier to make it into a 10-speed, it seemed like it was poised to take the market by storm. But there was this problem, one that wouldn't rear an ugly head until after the 460 and 560 had been launched in 1958. When it did, it was painful, and it was a costly lesson for IH. I've written a little bit about the 560 and recalled in previous interesting iron article, so I'll spare you the lengthy diatribe about how it went down. When IH was developing the 60 series, they broke a couple important rules of product development. Don't make 11th hour changes to major components of a tractor, especially the power plant or the drivetrain. Never release a product until you've beaten it to death twice. Breaking those two rules ultimately ended up costing them millions. They changed the engine in the 560 so it would compete more favorably with the John Deere 730. However, they didn't test their rear end hard enough after making the change. They were under the gun to get the product out the door, but it was a gamble they shouldn't have made. The increased power basically accelerated the wear on the bearings in the rear end. Once they fell out of the cage, it was only a matter of time before they blew the rear end housing apart. The failures weren't as widespread as history has made them out to be, but the damage was done in the public's eye. Harvester had no choice but to issue a recall on every tractor they built and pay the dealerships to fix them. Not only was it costly, it was a kick in the teeth as far as company credibility goes. Eventually, the recall was completed, but it was a very rocky way to start things. Now, let's get back to that IH660, because while it was in the family, it was a different animal. So, there's part of it. It was supposed to be the all-star, and it is a cool-looking tractor. So, anyway, I don't know if there's any around here, but they... Sugar Daddy, you got any out there hidden in your barn out there somewhere? I don't know if he does or not. But anyway, all right. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. This is The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.